to be in yeshiva today, so I didn't have my shulchan aruch out. So Reish Mem Beis. So we're still trying to finish up these 10 tiny little paragraphs at the end of Simin Reish Mem Beis that just describe the Klalei HaPsak that we have. So yesterday what we discussed, essentially mostly we discussed Os Aleph really yesterday, which was the halachos of asking the shayla twice, asking the same shayla to two different rabbanim. So today I would like to go on to the discussion of Hefsin Meruba, which appears in Os Gimel. So if you look in Os Gimel, if you look in Os Gimel, I just want to make sure I see everybody on the screen. Okay, if you look at Os Gimel, the Shach writes, "V'shas adchak haynu dafka b'makom hefsid meruba, o behefsid muat la'ani b'davar chashiv, la asher l'kavod Shabbos v'yom tov, o l'kavod orchim." That the definition of shas adchak is either hefsid meruba, or even if it's not a major loss, but it's for ani b'davar chashiv or an asher l'kavod Shabbos v'yom tov, or l'kavod orchim. So, did we discuss this yesterday? Oh no, we did discuss Hefsid Meruba, right? We discussed the idea of the Rabbi Kiva Eger yesterday with Hefsid Meruba. So you know what? Let's move on from that. Not the Rabbi Kiva Eger of Hefsid Meruba. Let's move on to the notion of Snifim. So the Shach goes on to tell us V'kol ze shekasvu, that everything that we've said is in Os Dalid. Haynu b'stam avlim timtzel lefamim od tzad heter acher. Hein min hashas o shikol hadas. Whether it be from shas or whether it be from shikol hadas, if you find another tzad heter chiyotzi b'zeh, yesh lasos kefi ma sheyira be'enav. Then you should do what seems to be correct. Ve'in l'dayin el ma sheyinav roos imu barachi sheyodeh lachriya lahavin l'horos. Meaning this is where the Shach tells us that there has to be some leeway for a Talmud Chacham to be able to use his judgment in being able to determine psak. That sometimes a dayan has other factors that he has to take into consideration, and there is no clear calculus on how weighted those factors are. You have to have a sense of psak. You have to have a feel for psak. Umitam ze im timtza beizim akomus b'shas u'poskum dvar masosum l'kolam elu hum b'peish yesham ezet tzado tam acher. So says the Shach, I'll tell you a secret, that not everything always lines up. Not everything always matches exactly what these rules are. You can give all the rules in the world, and that's not everything, because sometimes there are other factors that are in play and that you don't realize that they're in play. And if you find such factors in play, then that's if you find something that seems to be so the klalim, that's what you should assume is happening. That's what the Shach writes in Os Dalid. And then in Os Hey, the Shach writes, Zesha Timtza Bekama Makomos Bedivere Machaber Varav, Oshar Achronim, Shemidvim Bechila Svara Achas Bestam, Vaachar Kach Yeshmi Shematir, O Yesh Misha Oser, O Yesh Matirin, O Yesh Osrim, O Yesh Misha Cholik, O Yesh Cholkim. He says you find all these Lashonos in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes Halacha. Then it says Yesh Matirin, Yesh Osrim, Yesh Misha Cholik. All these Yesh. He says, you should know, the rule is, whatever the Mechaber writes a stam without the yesh, that's what he thinks is the most correct shita. And the second shita is tafel, is secondary. So then we need to assess, why is it tafel? What makes the second shita tafel? We always have to figure that out. Is it because the second shita is a lesser person, it's a lesser Talmud Chacham, or it's a Talmud in place arguing with his Rebbe, or maybe it's a Das Yachid against the Rabbim? We already went through those klalim. And if it's a din d'rabbanan, then you can be somech on even the lesser shita b'shas adchak. And if it's a kata neged gadol, so since it's not, you're not sure that it's kata neged gadol, there might be a kata neged gadol, so at least lamadrin ruvda, we wouldn't reverse the psak if someone followed that shita. But if it's dinda raisa, then you don't follow the secondary shita in either direction. Not lahachmir, not to be mekel, afilu b'shasat chak. V'yesh l'bal nefesh lahachmir la'atzmo b'sir Torah. But when you have a secondary shita on a doraisa that's more machmir, so bal nefesh can choose to be machmir like that shita. So it's so interesting. There are four permutations over here, and he really only explains three of them, right? If you unpack this shach, this paragraph in the shach, he's explaining four different cases, and he's informing us that there are four different situations. He's only explaining three of them, right? Situation number one, he explains to us that by a drabanan, sometimes we have a stam, and then yesh machmirin. There's someone that's machmir on a din drabanan. So he says, oh, why do we have that? That's just to tell us lo mahadrina nuvda, that if a rav paskin l'chumra, and we really paskin the other way, we're not going to reverse the psak. We leave it because there's a significant enough shita that the rav was relying on when he was machmir. Okay. Second permutation, by a drabanan, where the ikar is the machmir, and then there's a yesh mekilin, right? The yesh are those who are mekel. Why do we have that? Excuse me, we have that for b'shas adchak or hefsim ruba. Now you can be samech on it in the case of b'shas adchak or hefsim ruba. By an isudar raisa, why do we have a yesh machmirin by an isudar raisa? What's the value of quoting a yesh machmirin? So the value of yesh machmirin is for a bal nefesh. That if you want to be a bal nefesh and you want to be more machmir, so good, yesh machmirin. But what he doesn't explain is, why do we ever have yesh mekilin on a daraisa? We only have yesh machmir on a daraisa, never yesh mekilin. I mean, we have yesh mekilin, but why? So he doesn't really discuss this in this short 10-paragraph essay, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the page and a half that comes before this 10-paragraph essay is a pilpul b'hanhaga sorotos b'isr v'heter me'rav ha-mechaber yud zayin yud yud aleph, which I forgot what it stands for because someone emailed me when I said the other day I don't know what it stands for. I think it's a yihi zaro yaruch yamim aruchim or something like that. I don't know, but whatever it is that... or Yiskel, I don't know, whatever it is. So in the page and a half prior to this short half of a page, he does discuss what the Yesh Mekilin for a Doraisa is. So he writes, V'chi teima, im kein, lama kasva mechaber o shar poskim. Why do the mechaber or any of the other poskim say, b'kam mekomos, afilu bisa Doraisa, das ha-yachra cholek? Well, why do we mention the das ha-yachra disagrees? Yesh lomar da tanan b'reish edios, lama maskin d'vrei yachra bim hamarubim. The Mishnah asks him, sachas edios, why do we ever mention the yachidim when there are rabbim that disagree? Shem yomar adam kachani mekubal. If a person says, I have a Kabbalah like this, omrim k'divrei ploni shamata, we say, oh, you must be following the shita of so-and-so, which is das yachid that we also quote. Va'ot nan hasam, Shem yira based in divrei yachid v'yismach alav v'chulei upir shrayv lomar shem yira lebeizin ha'achron shalach divrei yachid arishon v'yismach alav klomar v'yikva alach kmosa kmo shemtzinu ba'amram shkava alach yichidim arishon mekam mekomos v'af b'shamrum chol kmo aleim, that sometimes a later generation might want to paskin like a das yachid in an earlier generation. And he says you find this a lot in Shas, that there's an earlier generation where there's a machlokas of yachid against the rabbim, and the later generations are more sensitive to the yachid, and they want to pass like the yachid. The majority changes over time. Now, the later generations are not authorized to just reject the earlier generations, but what they are authorized to do is to say that the majority vote has now changed. That it used to be that the majority followed that opinion, but considering that there is another opinion, now the majority can follow that second opinion. And that's why it's important to quote the yesh, the yesh mekilin, even on a dindar raisa. If the Mechaber would only record the Das Rabim, I would have assumed that it's an automatic, that everyone agrees, and no one's allowed to disagree. So that's why he says, so why is it that we record Yesh Mekilin? So the Shach says, two possibilities. Number one, if a person says, I have such a Kabbalah, so we say, oh, your Kabbalah must be like the town of Reb Lazar where they did Machshir and Mila on Shabbos, that your Kabbalah must be aligned with that Das Yachid. Still not going to change the Pesach for the rest of Klal Yisrael, but you have such a Kabbalah that it's a valid Kabbalah. Or alternatively, if the majority vote changes. That's what the Mishnayos and Edios talk about, Akavya ben Mahalalel. Now, Akavi ben Malal was a real heroic figure in Jewish history. What was his story? So the Mishnayos tell us that he was a very respected figure, and they wanted to make him the Rosh Yeshiva. And they offered him the job, and they said, all you got to do is change three of your shitos. You know, change a couple of things that you said that we don't accept. And he refused. He said, oh, I have to follow what I believe is true. Rav Shachter often tells the story that he was offered a certain position, and they said, all you got to do is just drop the Zionism thing, because it's not going to, you know, it doesn't play well in, you know, in the shteller that we want to offer you. So as long as you drop the Zionism thing, then okay, I can't do that. That's what I believe to be true. So you can't just, so Akavi ben Malal says, I know that I may be outvoted, but I'm not going to drop what I believe to be true. And then the Mishnayos tell us that after Akavi ben Malal was on his deathbed, his son asked him to speak on his behalf to his chaverim, that he should be given a good position. So he said, no, ma'asech yikarvucha, ma'asech yirachucha. It's going to be your own merit that earns you one way or the other. And he told his son, also the Mishnah tells us, that even though I followed a certain shita, that's only because I heard mipi amarubim. But you heard only from me, and I'm the miut in this generation. You didn't hear mipi amarubim. And therefore you should follow a different shita, which is wild. What does that mean? I heard mipi amarubim and you didn't. It means, l'chora, the vote changed. That at some point, the prevailing opinion changes. It's interesting. You wonder if the same thing applies to hashkafa. We had a question-answer session with Rav Asher Weiss on last Thursday night, a week ago, here in North Woodmere. It's up on YU Torah if anyone wants to listen to it. And one of the fellows from the neighborhood asked Rav Asher about the Gemara that appears in, I forgot where it appears already, Chagiga maybe. The Gemara tells us that the Malach HaMavis was sent to go bring a particular neshama from this world. And the Malach HaMavis sent one of his new lieutenants, like a new intern that was on the job, and the lieutenant came with the wrong neshama. Oh, it was Miriam, this Miriam, that Miriam, I forgot, I got confused between the two of them. And they said, oh, well, now you brought this neshama, now what are we supposed to do? So a friend of mine asked Rav Asher Weiss. He said, I don't understand. This friend of mine happened to have had the experience, he's my age, but unfortunately he's already had the experience of sitting shiva for both of his parents. And he said, when you're in that low chair, all people tell you is that this is part of the plan, that the Ribbono Shalom is running the world, and that everything that happens is supposed to happen, and it is what it's supposed to be. What do I do with that Gemara? That Gemara says that there could be some new intern working for the Malach HaMavis that makes a mistake and brings the wrong neshama back. How do we explain that Gemara? It's a very strong question, right? So Rav Asher said that if you really look around, you'll find that in certain generations, hundreds of years ago, there was a prevailing belief that not everything, not every single detail, had to be something that was actually Ratzon Hashem. Right? There is a possibility, the Archaim HaKadosh, I think, quotes, or the Klei Yakar, one of the Mefarshim in the Mikros Gedolos quotes, that a person has the capacity to murder another person, even if it's not Ratzon Hashem, that the victim will die. And they have the ability to do so. But Rav Asher said, in the last 300 years or so, it's become universally accepted that everything happens for a reason. And that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not allow anything to happen that's not 100% supposed to happen. And that's become the prevailing accepted, so that's what we hold. So someone contacted me afterwards, what do I do with it? What's the truth? Right? Meaning, which is it? Is it... So it could be the Pesach changed. that maybe it was a shita, and that shita has been outvoted in this generation. And once that shita is outvoted, Bezin Shalmata has paskin that way, and Bezin Shalmaila is maskim al yado in terms of the way that that it actually works. And now, what actually happens is not really our business, right? When it comes to something like that, but what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to assume, may be based on a majority opinion that's been voted on, and that's been, even though it's never an official vote, but it's become the prevailing opinion. It's become the rabbin. So maybe in hashkafa you have like that as well. Not only in halacha, maybe you have like that in hashkafa as well. That over time the majority opinion can change. Okay, then in Osvav, he writes that a Rav and Talmud are maskim l'das echad, they count as two people. Meaning, even though you would think that a Rebbe and a Talmud are, you know, the Talmud is just following the Rebbe, so that shouldn't count. That should only count as a das yachad. It should only count as one shita. He says it's not true unless you know that the Talmud is blindly following the Rebbe. Right? That's what we saw the other day. That it could be that the Rambam and the Rimigash only count as one because the Rambam says that he blindly follows the Rimigash. Not blindly follows, but that he was so enamored with the Rimigash that he couldn't imagine arguing on the Rimigash. But generally speaking, the Talmud does argue on a Rebbe sometimes. So if the Talmud is following the Shita of the Rebbe, even though he's more inclined to the Shita of the Rebbe, that still counts as two different Shitos. And then in Ozayin, he discusses if Ein Harbe Maskimim for the same reason. An interesting case. Let's say two people agree to the bottom line halacha, but for two totally different reasons. So do they count as a rabbim, or do we say no? Those, meaning that you have one, you have three dayanim. One says pater, two say chayiv. But the two that say chayiv are chayiv for two different reasons. So is it a one versus one versus one vote, or is it a 2-1 vote? Right? How do you view that when the two people that agree to the bottom line got there in different ways for totally different reasons? So it says ein lismoch aleim lahatir beisr torah ubeisr drabanan. If you look in Ozayin over there, it's very strange. Imena Rab Maskim Midas Echad El Kalechad Yeshul Tam Bifnei Atzmo Ve Maskim Lin Yadin Ein Lismoch Aleim Lahatir Bi Isur Torah U Bi Isur Drabanan. It's like it got cut off in mid sentence. What do you mean? You should not rely on them to be matir by an Isur Torah and by an Isur Drabanan. You just say Ein Lismoch Aleim Lahatir. What's the Bi Isur Torah Bi Isur Drabanan? So it seems the end of the sentence is missing. In fact, if you look in the Shach in Choshen Mishpat Simin Chafei Siv Katan Yutes, he says that that Biyardeya Ha'aleisi, that I've already told you in Yaradeya, that by Inisuda Oraisa we wouldn't count multiple viewpoints together, which clearly implies that by Inisuda Rabbanu we would. So the language here is strange. Where it probably just got cut off, right? That Ein Lismoch Aleim Lahatir Bi Isur Torah. Right, that's probably what it should be, which is a major change. You probably should read the end of the sentence. Oh, if it's an Alinus and Drabanan, then we could be so mechanam. So it's a very fascinating question. Do you look at the final psak, or do you look at the way you got to the psak? You know, there's a Tshuvas Nedeb Yehuda in Madura Tinyana Chosh Mishpat Simen Gimel. A lot of the Tshuvas in Nedeb Yehuda, there's Tshuvas Mi Ben HaMechaber, that the Nedeb Yehuda's son in Madura Tinyana, particularly. What happened was Nedeb Yehuda wrote a Madura Kama, which is a knockout sefer, really fabulous sefer, and it took the world by storm, and everyone was reading the Tshuvas Nedeb Yehuda, but a lot of people had problems in it. Kachi Darka Shel Torah, people, you know, had points to make. So they wrote back to Nedeb Yehuda challenging all of the Tshuvas. So Rav Shetler once commented that Madura Tinyana is not as good as Madura Kama, because all he's doing is defending everything he wrote in Madura Kama. So, but Madura Kama is where he really wrote what he wanted to write. Madura Tinyana is just, you know, defending. What you also have in Madura Tinyana is his son defending a lot of the things. So apparently he died at some point, and his son took over. It was generations of Talmidei Chachamim in the family of Nedeb Yehuda. So there are a lot of Tshuvas Mi Ben HaMechaber. They're marked off as Tshuvas Mi Ben HaMechaber. It's not in a different font or a different size, you know, like they did in the 8th volume of Igros Moshe or something like that. But you just have to, you know, look carefully, but let's see what's in the debut and what's his son. But there's a Tshuvas Mi Ben HaMechaber where the case is Reuven was Tovea $50 from Shimon for a loss, and another $50 for the money he had to spend to fix the problem. So Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me $100. $50 because you caused me a direct loss, and another $50 because you messed up my whole system and I had to spend $50 to fix the problem to make sure that I don't have a recurring loss. So one Rav said that he owes nothing, Pater. Another Rav said there were three dayanim. Another Rav said that he owes $50 for the loss. That whatever he had to fix, his grama, whatever, only $50 for the loss. And the third dayan said that he owes $50, but not for the loss, only for the fix. So it's $50 also, but not for the same thing. So Nadav Yehuda writes that there is a halacha called the Eidus Miuchedas. In Chosh Mishpat, if one aide says Reuven loaned Shimon $100 on Sunday, and another aide says he loaned him $100 on Monday, so they're mitztarif as aidim on the chov. You have two aidim that Reuven owes Shimon $100. In Yeredeya, they wouldn't be mitztarif, right? In Issa V'Hetzer, they wouldn't be mitztarif, unless it's a case of Eid Echadema. So if one aide says something became treif in one way, and another aide said it became treif in another way, then they wouldn't be mitztarif. So he says by Chosh Mishpat, we look at the end result, and whether he owes the money. So by Chosh Mishpat, you could be mitztarif two different reasons. But in Yerideya, you always look at the underlying logic. And if there are two different reasons, then we would not be mitztarif. Last thing I really want to talk about is Os Ches. We're not going to get so into Os Tes and Os Yud. But in Os Ches, he has something fascinating. He says that if Achronim disagree with Rishonim, and everybody was aware of the Rishonim, we follow the Achronim. But, he says, if we find a new Tshuvas Gaon that was not brought in Svarim, we can even pass on like the Rishonim against the Achronim, because maybe the Achronim were unaware of it. Whoa, 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 what's he saying? You have a whole history of halachic discourse, halachic discussion, and the earlier generation said something, and then the later generations maybe disagree or maybe change the majority vote or whatever. You follow the later generations. They were aware of what the earlier generation said, and we follow the later generations. But if the writings of the earlier generation were not accessible to the later generations, then you follow the earlier generation. There's a rule, halacha kebasrei. Right? Halacha kebasrei seems to be against ein halacha ketalmud b'makom harav. Right? It seems to be against the idea of Yeridus Hadaros. But there is such a rule that halacha kebasrei, from Abaye and Raven on, we say the halacha is kebasrei. Why? Because the assumption is that by then, by the time of Abaye and Rava, everyone had a great respect for earlier Amoraim, so they only would have given a psak if they would have studied everything the earlier generation said. So we could paskin like them because they took into account everything the earlier generation said. Normally, Ein Halacha Ketalmud Makom Harav, because we're assuming the Talmud's wrong and the Rebbe's right. The Talmud didn't properly assess what the earlier generations have said. But Halacha Basrei tells us once we've reached the point where the Derech HaPsak is to always very carefully analyze everything that the earlier generation said, then we can follow Halacha Basrei. They can argue, a later generation is allowed to argue, but only after analyzing what was said earlier. But in earlier generations of Amoraim, they were saying their own things, so we'd simply paskin like the greater authority. The greater authority came earlier. So Nor Chaim in Sim Shin Chav Ches, Shulchan Aruch says, for example, that the eye is connected to the heart. Shulchan Aruch says that anything with the eye is Pikuach Nefesh, that it's automatically Pikuach Nefesh. So we can't explain that scientifically, biologically, why that's true. That anything with an eye, that any problem with the eye is automatically Pikuach Nefesh is connected to the heart. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik held that way, though, that that you paskin that it's Sakana. So he couldn't explain it, but he said that the reason he held that way is he holds he could be Mechal Shabbos with a Melacha D'Oraisa even for Sakana Zever, even if it's not Sakana Snefashos. Shulchan Aruch says not that way. Shulchan Aruch says he can't be Mechal Shabbos B'Doraisa for Sakana Zever, only for Sakana Snefashos. So how could Rav Aaron Soloveitchik argue on the Shulchan Aruch? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik explained that there are four Gedolei Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch never saw that all pass in this way. And if the Shulchan Aruch never saw them, then you could pass them like the Rishonim, which is this is exactly what the Shach is saying, that if there were Rishonim that said something and the Achronim didn't have access to those Rishonim, well then the Rishonim win. Then you pass them like the Rishonim. He said, had the Shulchan Aruch seen these Rishonim, maybe his psak would have changed. Of course, in order to be able to be machria as such, you have to be an Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od to be able to determine what the Shulchan Aruch would have said. Rav Vadia writes that in his Hakdama to his son's edition of the Tshuvas Pe'er Ador, where he says that if the Mechaber would have seen the Tshuvas Pe'er Ador, he would have passed like everything it says because it's written by the Rambam, and of course he would have conformed to what the Rambam says. Now, there is a Chazanish that seems to disagree with all of this, and this is an important Chazanish, and this is really the last major point I want to make over here. I should say there are two Chazanishes. There's the Chazanish Mipi HaShmua that everyone quotes, and then there's what the Chazanish actually wrote. So, you decide for yourself what's more authoritative. In the Chazanish Mipi HaShmua, what they quote from the Chazanish is that we can't paskin from Alt Ksavim. We can't paskin from, you're going to find a Rishon now. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is going to find four Rishonim that the Mechaber never saw. So what? So then, someone's going to be on a dig next week and they'll find another Rishon and the Halach is going to flip back and forth and back and forth. It can't be. That there is, Kodesh Baruch, the guiding hand of Hashkacha has guided the Mesorah Satara as well, has guided the Mesorah of Halacha as well. That's what they quote from the Chazon Ish. In the Encyclopedia Talmudit, in the entry on Hilchos HaKabasra'i, that's what it says in the name of the Chazon Ish. However, the Chazon Ish's Michtav on this topic is printed in the Sefer Chazon Ish. In Hilchos Klayim, Simin Aleph, Os Aleph, there's a Michtav where he says a little differently. Chazon Ish writes, Im Omnam Minakoshi Yuatzli Lavo B'masa Matan Macham Sheyichu, V'ani Misrachim Gizak Hamada Efshar, Mitzarecha B'tivi, Mitzad Hasheni, Ein Tovalta Metzuya, Ki Ein Deos B'nei Adam Mishtavos. He says, I don't like to get involved in Machlokas. First of all, it's not my nature. Second of all, it doesn't help. And he says, usually the fact that there are differences of opinion is based on personalities or things that are built into a person's brain that are not going to change. He says, I have to tell you something. Meaning, he's indicating that there's someone that he's arguing on, right? He's arguing on the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quotes Meiris all the time in the Bir Halacha, and he thinks that that's going to impact Halacha. Now, the Poskim didn't have Meiris. The Meiri only came to light much, much later. And the Mishnah Berurah assumes that it's like, you take Meiri into account, La Halacha. So says the Chazon Ish, Yodua. Ki aim koach rov ela b'moshav beis din. That rov is only determined when you have a moshav beis din. Aval chama cholkim shayu b'doros chalukos or b'medinas chalukos. If you had someone that disagreed that lived somewhere else or was in a different generation, ein nafkusa bein rov l'miut. Then there's no din of following the rov. Va'osa medina shorov atar shabiyadam hu meira ve'achalu mitalmidav mitalmidat tamidav osin karabim av magum shorabim acholkim. That if you have a place that has a very impactful rabbi, I don't know, Rabbi Teitz in Elizabeth, let's say, we keep using Rabbi Teitz as an example lately, so why not? Rabbi Teitz in Elizabeth. So let's say in Elizabeth, New Jersey, all of the shuls are under Rabbi Teitz's auspices, and they all follow his psak halacha. Maybe he's a das yachid about, I don't know, schnapps and sherry casks or something like that. You know, and he's machmir on that when the oilam seems to be makel on that. Maybe he's a das yachid out there. But the halacha doesn't get determined out there. In his community, he's the rov, because he's the most impactful person, and he's the one that has all of his talmidim of the rabbanim in that place. Kamo Rif, Rush, Rambam, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, Ran, Magamishna, Mordechai, Rashi, Vitosos. He says, in our generations, we have Rishonim that we always turn to. And he gives the list of the 10 Rishonim we always turn to. Heim hayu harabonim hamuvhakim shel hadoros. That's like the Mara da Asra of our towns, of all generations. Kol makom sheish plukta, whenever you have a machlokas, hayadav masul achra lekol chachom lahachmir olivchar biyichidim yidum leilich achreya. We had the ability to be machriya one way or another. Ubemakom shelo huchra hadavar safek, and whenever there was not a hachra, it remained besafek. Ubedine mamnis amrudim yesh yichidim kneg rabbi yachalam akim likidavar shadavar biyisod besafek. And if something remained really a safek, we can say in choshem mishpat kimli that I passed like that shita. Umuvad she'in kan koch rov be'etzem eino rov yadua ki arvicha mayu shelo bov divrei malah sefer. He says, we don't always know what the rov is because a lot of chachamim never wrote svarim. A lot of arvish is sefreim lo yigili adenu. And many who did write svarim, we don't have their svarim. L'chein, ein hadin mishtane kasher matfisim kisfe yad chadoshim v'napa chamiyut l'rov. He says the rov can't change by the fact that we find more writings, that we find more rishonim. He says, sometimes we're not able to be mechri on our own, we have to follow the rov. But the rov should be determined by the rov of those rishonim that we really, really use all the time. But then he says, by the way, don't forget, don't leave your intellect at home. Meaning it's not only about counting and accepting, you have to make sure you analyze and you understand and you put it through the proper Mishkal HaSeichel, because the Seichel is, he has such a beautiful Lashon. He says, the Seichel is Hamalach Bein Hayotzer V'Yotzur. That it's the sort of the messenger, it's the bridge between the Yotzer and that which is created, meaning between the Ribono Shel Olam and humanity. That's the Seichel. So essentially what he's saying is that the din that we follow Rov is in a Beis Din of people that are sitting together. So Paskan Halacha, you follow the Rov. Rabbi Elazar was a Das Yachid about Machshirim Mila and Shabbos, and he for sure would have been outvoted. But guess what? He never got to sit with the other Dayanim and get outvoted. And since he never got outvoted, in his town, his Talmidim carry on his Shita. And that's why the Gemara says, "B'mkom Shel Rabbi Elazar, they used to do Machshirim Mila on Shabbos. It'd be Mechal Shabbos and Machshirim Mila on Shabbos. And that was fine." When we talk about the Rov, it's the Rov of that particular location. It's not really the Rov of everybody. So when people bring Gedoli Eretz Yisrael, you know, I remember every year it used to be like in Yeshiva World News right before Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, they would say, Rav Eliashiv says you're not allowed to wear Crocs on the Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. So, oh no, all of American Jewry doesn't know what to do because he said, not allowed to. That's an old, old machlokes, and Rav Eliashiv certainly is entitled to his opinion and certainly is following a great tradition in halacha. But in America, the poskim don't say that way. So they bring a lot of times with Gedol Eretz Yisrael who disagrees with that. Shavers are asur. All shavers are asur. Elamai, we have a posek hadar in America. We had someone who determined what the minhag is going to be in America, what the psak rather was going to be in America. And that was Rav Moshe Feinstein. So it doesn't matter that the Gedol Eretz Yisrael say otherwise. It's irrelevant. Our psak is based on the majority of our medina, says the Chazon Ish. However, the entire Jewish world is considered like one city when it comes to the primary Rishonim upon whom we base halacha. Meaning everybody becomes America's Rav Moshe when it comes to major psak halacha of Rishonim. So who is the Rav Moshe of the whole world? It's Rashi, it's the Rambam, it's Tosos, it's the Ritva, it's the ten Rishonim that the Chazon Ish identifies as the most primary of the Rishonim. Of course, there were hundreds of other Rishonim that are all Gedolei Olam. You can go to Rav Rosenzweig Shir and you'll learn a sugya and you'll hear the Tosos Chachmei Anglia and the Tosos Chachmei Hungaria and the Tosos Chachmei Kansas and the Tosos and whatever. And there may have been great Rishonim in every place in the world, and it's worthy of studying, and you can understand the sugya on a much deeper level. And it's great, and it's all Torah, and Eilvei Divrokim Chaim, and all of that. But when it comes to Psak Halacha, says the Chazon Ish, we have our ten Rishonim, and they're the Marad Asra, the ten Rishonim, the Marad Asra of the whole world, and all the other Rishonim you can uncover are not going to change the Halacha. Now, mind you, this is against the Mishnah Berurah. Right? The Mishnah Berurah assumes that the Meiri matters, that the Meiri counts, even though he was only discovered later on, and he was not part of that. He did not become the Marad Asra of the whole world like the Rambam did. So even though there are hundreds of other Rishonim, the Chazon Ish says they're all Gedolei Olam. But just like a city follows its Rabbanim, I'm not claiming, none of us would claim that, the Gedolim in America today, whoever you view as the Gedolim in America, the big poskim in America, Rav Shechter, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav David Cohn, whoever you're going to identify as the great poskim in America, no one's going to argue necessarily that they're greater than all the Gedolei poskim in Eretz Yisrael, but they're our Rabbanim, and therefore we follow them. So the Jewish people are like a city that follows these Gedolei Olam. So if you find Ksavim, it's not going to change the Rov. It's a titan on the Mishnah Berurah who does rely on later writings. He then says that when we find a new psak of an earlier Adam Gadol, some disagree and say she'ein shom lachronim neged gedolei rishonim. But in case where the Achron brings the Rishon and is himself enforcing Bekachsho, who roi lachlok, you could be so mechanim if we judge him to be correct. So that's just a fascinating michtav of the Chazon Ish that relates to this osches, as far as it relates to ksavim that we find from Rishonim that go against that which we find in Achronim. Okay, we'll stop there. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos and a great day.
Rebbe, it's a